Of course, the crowd wants Reed to go for it. Wouldn't be surprised if he did on 4th and 1.
So, anyways, with that, time, George.
Welcome to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs for yet another victory edition for the Kansas City Chiefs. Nick, does it ever get old doing victory editions? This is 10 in a row for the Chiefs.
I'm going to be honest with you, Todd. I'm at the point now that until they're back in the playoffs, I don't have the ebbs and flows. I get frustrated if I see them underperform. But I've seen a Super Bowl in my lifetime, which is what I wanted to see. So, I mean, it's all downhill from here in a positive way, hopefully.
So you're not living and dying as much with every play, with every game as you maybe were, say, this time last year?
Yeah, no, it's not the same intensity anymore. I don't have that same drive, let's say, per se. So for me personally, yeah. I'm okay. You know, if they have a bad game or something, I get it sometimes. It's just I've been to the mountaintop, okay? So there's probably a good reason I'm not on the football team right now. I mean, don't get me wrong, I would want to be perfect if I were a player and I would still have that type of level, but as a fan, I don't have to put my hopes and dreams on every single player.
So it's like you're like the kid who goes to his first church camp and comes back, you know, ready to become a missionary or something. Just, you know, that's what I think of anytime I hear the mountaintop experiences. You know, I had a girlfriend once in college, broke up with me after one of those experiences. Apparently, I did not fit into her to her vision after spending a weekend at church anymore. Hi, Kate, if you're out there. Nice to see you again.
I'm sure Kate is listening closely for your Chiefs.
We're very popular with the 40-something mother Kate. Demographic.
Very popular with women named Kate.
That's right. I've dated most of them in the Kansas City area, so they probably like to check in and be like, see, that's why I broke up with him. But, hey, let's talk about Harrison Butker real quick, man, because I have not had as much fun watching a kicker as I did for, like, those 2 minutes at the end of the game today. A buddy was texting me, Aaron Paris, and he says, he's like, do you go for it or do you kick here? And I said, I kick. And he's like, yeah, it's a long kick. And I was like, yeah, dude's money. It'll be fine. And so, you know, then he boots the 53-yarder, which is just what I expected him to do. And then you push it back 5 more yards and he boots it again and there's a timeout. And then he boots it a third time and he's walking away like he's Steph freaking Curry in the NBA finals, like with his arms raised out. Like, are you not entertained? I thought it was great theater. Harrison Butker, maybe my favorite kicker of all time. Shout out to Nick Lowry, who just got bumped from that throne. But yeah, I mean, I can't say enough about the job Harrison Butker did. And I know, you know, paying specialists a lot of money and eating up a lot of salary cap may not be your favorite thing, but Harrison Butker may be the best to ever do it. And if he's going to come through in the clutch like that, pay the man.
Yeah, I mean, look, with Butker, for me personally, I hope I never see him have to make a game-winning field goal again because I have trust issues with kickers. It dates back to 1995. So
did something happen at the end of that season in the playoffs?
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm not going to talk about it, but ever since that day, I've never trusted a kicker, even my own field goal kicker on my high school football team. I was always iffy. I'm like, hey, you made that one game winner one time, so that was exciting. It's exciting when they make it, but you're always expecting kickers to fail. So, I mean, if you leave that bar low, like I've always said, paranoia equals prepared. So if you leave that bar low, there's at least a shot that they can have one of those moments like Butker did.
No, I get it. I totally get it because, you talk, we're not going to say, well, no, I'm just going to do it. You mentioned that you brought up the Lynn Elliott game, but
I never said his name. Why would you bring that into existence?
But there was a playoff game where even my boy Nick Lowry, there was a holding call on Dave Zott, pushed it back 10 yards. He ends up missing the kick. It comes up short. There was the Pete Stojanovic miss. In the Elvis Gerbach, 98 divisional playoff with the Broncos,
We're no longer talking about kickers, Todd. Come on.
I'm just saying, man. Stojanovic had, there's a phantom holding call on Greg Minowski, and that's ultimately why they're down four and have to go for the touchdown, the failed throw to Lake Dawson instead of a field goal to win it because the Pete Stojanovic field goal got erased. So I get it. If you're a Chiefs fan, you've got a lot of PTSD. But I'm telling you, just like Patrick Mahomes has erased a lot of things, Harrison Butker is going to fix that for you, Nick Jacobs.
I'm telling you. It's something that can never be fixed. It's just going to be broken for my entire life. Kickers will not be in my heart unless they're the ones who win the Super Bowl. And even then, I'm probably still not going to trust them after that.
All right. Okay, one guy we do trust is Patrick Mahomes. But for basically three quarters, Mahomes was struggling, man. And obviously, the pass rush was getting to him. They didn't have a lot of time to let things develop down the field. They didn't have a lot of time to even, let screen passes. I mean, anything that took more than 2.5 seconds, they didn't have time to run. Is that a product of Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram are really good, and Jerry Tillery, like we talked about Friday, is on the come up as a pass rusher? Or is that a sign that the Chiefs may have some serious issues on this offensive line?
For me personally, to see what I did, I'm telling you that pass rush, they copied a lot of what San Francisco did. So I mean, I'm not really surprised to see them do that type of stuff, because I mean they took part of the playbook that the 49ers used. They played the cover three. They kept everything underneath, and man, they just let their pass rush tee off. And like I talked about in the article, we talked about, you talked about as well with the tempo and having to hurry them up. They weren't able to do that at times, but man, Joey Bosa, how gassed that guy was there at the end of the fourth quarter in OT. There was one time where Byron Pringle just nudged him. Didn't even lay him out, just nudged him. He just dropped to the ground. He just sat there while Mahomes scrambled around and made the throw. That's how I knew that guy was exhausted, because that guy's a competitor. So, I mean, that, I know he gave everything he had. And a thing that I hear from a lot of players that played over the years, people don't understand how tiring a pass rush is, and to sustain that for four quarters, for a player to do that, to try to fight off the run blocks and then be able to pass rush with intensity. I had a lot of players tell me they get wore out after three plays, and they need breaks sometimes. And you can argue about conditioning, but I'm telling you, man, I trust the guys that I've talked to over the years. Pass rush, there's only so much you have in that tank, and the more rotation you have, the better. But the Chargers did. They really brought it with their pass rush today. And they were aggressive, and they had some cheap shot hits. But overall, they brought it defensively today, and they brought it some on offense in their run game.
Yeah, I think that's an area where, or one of the many areas where not having a preseason has had an impact, because you not having that time to build up to play a half, get used to hitting, play three quarters, and then wind it back down and get that game shape that pros like to talk about. You're having to do that the first 2, 3, 4 weeks of the season. So I think you're going to see that a lot from defenses. They're going to wear down in the fourth quarter. Hey, we've got a lot more to talk about, including, Patrick Mahomes versus Justin Herbert, which is going to be a big battle in the AFC West for a long time to come. We're going to talk a little bit more about that on the other side of this break here on 4th and 1.
It's a moment that feels like it happened ages ago, right? Months later, times are testing the core of who we are. Now more than ever, you deserve the whole story without the hype. And those moments that remind you that good is stronger than ever. Kansas City, this is our time. This is your team. 41 Action News.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, the Chargers threw a curveball right off the bat. I mean, we spent a lot of time on the Friday podcast talking about Tyrod Taylor and the challenge of facing him, and even how the progression from Deshaun Watson to Tyrod Taylor to the game next week against Lamar Jackson, and the similarities and what to expect from there. And then Tyrod Taylor ends up missing the game with a chest injury. You know, and you know, fifth number five overall pick, Justin Herbert's in there. And I, look, he had that terrible interception, which ultimately might be the difference in the game when he tried to do kind of a play similar to the one Patrick Mahomes threw to beat the Ravens 2 years ago. But, you know, in this case, it ends up being an interception for L'Jarius Sneed. But what were your overall impressions? Because I was really, really impressed with what I saw for Justin Herbert, considering he's never had a preseason snap in the NFL, and he didn't have any idea this week he was going to be starting that game.
Yeah, I mean, he really shined in this one. And I think Charger fans don't ever have to worry about him being like Baker Mayfield or anything of that nature, or Johnny Manziel. I think today put that to rest for him, because, I mean, what he did out there, the presence he had whenever he had pressure in his face, the way how calm and cool and collected he was, more so than most. You see a good quarterback there that I think, like you said, I think Chargers are headed in the right direction. Herbert's going to be that guy long term. Now, when they elect to do that, we'll find out. But, man, I tell you what, I was really, really impressed with what he did today and what that can mean for the Chargers long term. I know Anthony Lynn said in his press conference afterwards that that it was still Tyrod Taylor's job to then when he came back. But I'm like, I mean, if you want to, that's all right. But
woof. Yeah, I don't. This to me is going to be a lost season for the Chargers. They showed me more than I thought they had in the tank after studying the week one tape. I mean, this team's probably somewhere in the middle, and it's probably too early to cash out and say they're not a playoff team. But ultimately, especially with that seventh playoff spot, but ultimately, I don't see this as a playoff team. And I think that the genie's out of the bottle with Herbert. I don't know why you would go back on that. And what I really was impressed with was the toughness, because he took some shots and he kept getting right back in there. I mean, he showed that he doesn't have a glass jaw. Which an NFL quarterback needs to have that tough chin. But also, there were some times where, you know, a lot of it was made this week about Patrick Mahomes being willing to take the check down, you know, and make the right play, things like that. There were times when a zone or when a screen pass got busted up, he's willing to make the smart play already. There were just a lot of maturity from a guy. And I frankly wasn't sure whether, you know, whether he was going to be capable of doing that. But I mean, from the first drive that game, he showed the Chiefs that they were in for a fight today. At the same time, how impressed were you with the fact that the Chiefs didn't, you know, they kept fighting and really probably should have won the game in regulation were it not for those holding penalties and that false start by the offensive line on the last drive?
I'm not surprised to see the Chiefs battle through and bounce back and show the mental toughness. They had to do that to have the season they did last year and to finish off winning the Super Bowl. So I just think that's just a part of their DNA from this day forward. But it helped indoctor some of the younger players and some of the guys that haven't been on this team before about how it didn't matter how far you're down. I mean, one play can make a difference. And there was a handful of plays that the Chiefs had to make, and they made to be able to keep that game close and be able to hold on, to hold them to field goals or punts or whatever they had to. So, I mean, the Chiefs, did the defense struggle? Did they look bad? Did they struggle against the run all day? Yeah. The Chargers were physical with them, and they took it to the Chiefs defense and gave them a reminder that you're still a work in progress. And they reminded the Chiefs offensive line, you're still a work in progress right now. So, I mean, the Chiefs got a reality check of what they're going to have to do if they want to repeat. They got the Chargers' best shot. They got the Texans' best shot last week. They're definitely going to get Baltimore's best shot next week. And then they're going to get the Patriots' best shot, who had a really good game on Sunday Night Football against the Seahawks.
Yeah, should have given the ball to Marshawn Lynch at the goal line there, and the Patriots might have won that one. Speaking of running backs, though, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, where are we falling on him? He was a little bit more involved in the passing game today, had a huge play that got called back on one of those holding penalties on the drive late in regulation. But obviously he's still trying to find his way as a running back, as a power back, you know, in the NFL. At least that's the way it seemed to me. I mean, he has struggled a little bit at times, and we really saw that today. The Chiefs tried to commit to that run game. They just couldn't really get it untracked.
Well, and I think that has a lot to do with the front they were going against the Chargers today. And I think there's going to be tough sledding next week against that Ravens defensive line. This was a really good, like I said, reality check for the Chiefs offensive line to understand that they're going to face a physical front just as physical next week, if not more physical than that, in terms of the numbers they have to be able to rotate in. So, I mean, the Chiefs, they're going to have to get real serious this week if they want to keep that game close in Baltimore on Monday night. So I think Clyde is going to have – I think the Chiefs are trying to figure out ways to be able to keep everybody satisfied, get everybody involved, but also be able to adjust to what defenses are trying to take away from them. So that's probably going to take half a season to get to that point for them to figure that out. And part of the Chiefs' defensive issues – That's from not having preseason. That's from not having not having some of those games and those situations. So I'm not as frustrated as I would have been last year whenever they had those opportunities to work in preseason. So I mean, it's just everything's a work in progress right now. And as we saw last year, there was a lot of people that didn't think that defense is going to be able to help them get to the Super Bowl. And guess what? They ended up winning. So I mean, it's just you don't have to peak right now. Just get the wins now. But man. If you can bring it whenever it comes playoff time, that's really all that matters. And the Chiefs have helped us raise our expectations to that.
Well, and the other thing is you're not going to have to wait half the season to bring in Mike Pinnell to help shore up that run defense in the middle. Also, look, I want to give some credit to Rashad Fenton because the quarterbacks were put in a tough position, especially when Antonio Hamilton went out with the groin injury in this one. Legarius Sneed looks like he can play,
yeah.
You know, but you're missing both starting corners, Bashaud Breeland because of suspension, Charvarius Ward because of injury. Rashad Fenton, it's sink or swim time, buddy. And he got beat for a touchdown early in the game when he blew the coverage. But when they needed to play late in regulation to get – late in overtime to get the ball back to the offense and give them a chance to go down and win it, he made an incredible tackle on Mike Williams short of the sticks to force – that. I mean, the Chargers didn't have to punt, but it prompted the Chargers to punt there. And that's, to me, that's what cornerback comes down to. You've got to be willing to compete, you know, and put a bad play behind you and then come out and make the next play. Rashad Fenton showed me something today.
Yeah, and that's just the name of the game with the Chiefs football team is guys struggle, guys have off days, they have off plays, but the team's resiliency, it's really from top to bottom. They don't ever believe they're out of a game, and they continue to work through it. And that Houston Texans game, the playoff game, that's really kind of the catapult that really set that in stone with everybody, and everybody has constantly bought in, and they get new people to buy in with it. So no, it's another one. Today was another one of those building block days that they can just have, and like I said, teach this new wave that this is our approach. This is why we do the work that we do. And this is why we are as resilient as we are.
Here's a mind blowing stat for you. Another record Patrick Mahomes owns. He has the last six times that the Chiefs have fallen behind by double digits. Patrick Mahomes has led them back to a win in that game. NFL record. No quarterback had ever done that before. And then, of course, today they were down 17-6, came back to win it in overtime. Leave it at that for the B block, and we will come back and wrap things up on the C block here on 4th and 1.
Weather alerts on the free 41 Action News app. Download it today.
Welcome back to 4th and 1. I'm Todd Palmer, joined by Nick Jacobs. And Nick, one of the big stories in the NFL from Sunday across the league and for the Chiefs as well was injuries. Antonio Hamilton left the game. You had Sammy Watkins leave the game. I thought Damian Wilson was going to be done the way he got up after that hit of Justin Herbert on the sideline. He looked loopy, man, but he came back in and finished up. But injuries continue to be an issue. How concerned are you if you're the Chiefs about the injury issue, and how much is maybe attributed to the like we talked about, the lack of a preseason?
I mean, that's the key to all of this, and it's not just Chiefs. If you look at the NFL in general today, whenever Drew Locke got hurt and when Nick Bosa got bent back. Like
Saquon Barkley and Christian McCaffrey, everybody. I mean, everybody.
49ers had four starters that went out in the game, you know?
Yeah.
And
yeah, I mean, Garoppolo, Solomon Thomas.
Right. And so you had every single one of those guys go out. I mean, the amount of guys that got injured that were starters, I, if I remember correctly, at one point when I counted, is more than 15. And then, like, you had Sammy Watkins, who the Charger took the cheap shot on him and deliberately went for his head to knock him out of the game. Part of it is part of it is this week was a reminder of why you need preseason and why you need players to build up and physically get up to that ramp up to that period and go through what we call football condition, where you take hits, receive hits, and you don't necessarily do it for an entire game.
Yeah.
You maybe do it for a couple series 1 week, then you do it for a quarter, then you do it for a half, and you slowly progress. I mean, that's just the way it works out for players, because I think the injuries that have happened here are a big part of why, to reiterate, why preseason is important, regardless of what people think, because, I don't think all those injuries were by, you know, I don't think it was just some accident. You know, I think that's kind of the key slowly over time to where you build that up. And you can't really build that up in practice, and you can't build that up with just running and stretching. Physically hitting people and getting hit, it's a certain level of, it's like building a callus sometimes. I know it sounds weird to say, but it's like building a callus on your thumb when you're doing, you know, when you're playing a video game or whatever. It's
playing guitar.
Sure, playing guitar. I mean, I don't do it, but I've heard about it. I've watched videos before. I think preseason. I think this is a reminder why preseason is more important than people want to give it credit for.
Yeah, I'm glad you know what guitar is. That's good. One other thing I want to touch on. Offensive line. Do you, Kaleche Osemele, Is he the answer at left guard? I mean, yeah. Ultimately, what do you see, and what does he need to do to kind of adjust his game to mesh with the rest of that offensive line? That's another area we talk about, the lack of a preseason. You don't have the cohesion up front with those guys either.
Oh, look, I think Kolesiusen was one of the better left guards they've had since Jeff Allen left to go to the Houston Texans the first time around. He's a dominant tackle. He's more of the power run that they need. He's going to help Ryder out. He helps Fisher out. But like you said, I mean, it's going to take 8 to 9 weeks for that offensive line to really get into the sync that they want to be. So, I mean, the Chargers built that pass rush to go against the Mahomes of the world. And that's just the reality. And that's something that a lot of other NFL teams are going to have to figure out over time. And that's what the Ravens did. The Ravens built up this offseason to go against the Chiefs. So, I mean, we'll see how that worked out for them in Monday Night Football next week. So it's just, I think the Chiefs offensive line is going to be fine. I think they'll be able to do what they're capable of over time. But it's just, I mean, you got to treat this first month. I hate to say it, but you have to treat this first month like it's preseason, because in a lot of ways it is for them. But it's a more intense preseason than what a lot of them have gone through.
Well, here's hoping Frank Clark feels better. Here's hoping Charvarius Ward can get something on his hand. And here's hoping Damian doesn't have any problems with his head after the flight back to Kansas City. And here's hoping Mike Pinnell's been working hard during his suspension. Because, yeah, that challenge next Monday night against Lamar Jackson is going to be tough. And we will be back to talk to you guys about it. Battle a couple 2-0 teams on Friday on this podcast. But for now, we're going to wrap it up. Nick, got anything else to add?
No, I'm ready to go home.
All right. Take care, kids.